We are in Come Follow Me week 15, which is Matthew chapter 15 through 17 and Mark chapter 7 through 9. And I am just centering on one basic principle, one basic scripture. And if you start in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, it says, "This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Verse 11, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man." And then if you go down in 18 through 20 of that same chapter, chapter 15, it explains, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." And it made me think of a few of our conference talks. The first was the quote that I have from Elder Renlund when he said, "Not taking the name of the Lord in vain," says, or "taking the name of the Lord in vain" is, you should not identify yourself as a disciple of Jesus Christ unless you intend to represent him well. And I loved that. I thought, what a beautiful way to explain what that means. And then I thought of a time in my life where there was a person who really, really was struggling with me. And that's not new. I don't know what it is about me, but we have moved a lot. And everywhere we have lived, someone has come and told me something they struggle with about me. And I've said that before, it kind of gets more and more difficult to kind of overcome. And in this instance, this person had gone and asked for the bishop to take my recommend away. And I don't want to get emotional. But the thing that was hard about that was I became so ugly. I became so hateful. The last thought as I would go to bed was of this person and how much I disliked them. And the first thought in the morning was of this person and how much I disliked them. And after about a year, and I'm ashamed to say that, I could not handle what it was doing to me. It was poisoning me. And I can honestly say I am someone who loves other people. I really love everyone. And it was really hard for me because it was the first time that I could say I really disliked someone. And it just so was at a point that I did not know how to let it go. And so I prayed and fasted and was asking the Lord for help. And when they say we should pray for our enemies, I would. And I would write her name on the prayer roll. And one day as I was writing her name on the prayer roll, the Spirit said, "Stop. You are being so self-righteous. Every time you do that, you tell yourself what a good person you are and what an awful person she is." And that was true. And so I was fasting and praying about this, and Elder Holland, this back in 2007, and I did not know it was that long ago, but when I read this Come Follow Me and this scripture, "Not that which goeth in the mouth, but that which cometh out defileth a man," it was his talk in 2007 that absolutely was the miracle I was looking for, that absolutely was the answer to prayer. And he uses that very scripture. And so I want to read a couple quotes from his talk. And he says, "James said, 'For in many things we offend all. But if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and also able to bridle the whole body.' And then he said, Paul said to all of us, 'Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good and edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers.'" And it made me think of the temple film. And I think I've shared this before. when Satan in the temple film says to Peter, James, and John, you have looked at my kingdom and my greatness, and now you want to take possession of the whole of it. It so hit me that of course Satan thinks that, because that's his desire. He wants God's power and greatness. So of course he would think that's what Peter, James, and John would want. We tend to think other people think the way we do. And here's another quote. It says in his, "In all of this, I suppose it goes without saying, negative speaking so often flows from negative thinking, including negative thinking about ourselves. We see our own faults. We speak, or at least think, critically of ourselves. And before long, that is how we see everyone and everything. No sunshine, no roses, no promise of hope or happiness. Before long, we and everybody around us is miserable." And then he said, "Elder Orson F. Whitney once said, the spirit of the gospel is optimistic. It trusts in God and looks on the bright side." And then he said, "Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Be perfect, men and women, in at least this one way, by offending not in word, or more positively put, by speaking with a new tongue, the tongue of angels." And I can remember hearing his talk and just bawling. It was exactly, it just penetrated my heart. And I knew it was my answer to prayer. And what it did is it opened my heart, and I finally understood that that person did not like themselves. And that killed me. It so hurt my heart. I can honestly say I know there are so many things that I need to change in myself, that I need to be refined and edified, and I'm a work in progress, and God is really helping me in that endeavor. But I have never, ever once in my life doubted that God loved me. And for the first time, I understood that this person did. And it so broke my heart. And I was able then to truly pray and to write her name on the prayer roll. But I was not praying for an enemy. Because the truth is, you can't pray for an enemy. If you sincerely are praying for someone the way God intends, they are no longer your enemy. It is someone you see as a child of God and that you love, and you hope they feel God's love. And it was truly a miracle. It was truly a gift of the atonement. It was not something I earned, but it was something I prayed earnestly for. And that God answered my prayer. And I was so grateful that he took those bad feelings away and replaced them with understanding and helped me get over that. And then I wanted to just share a couple things from the talk this year that President Nelson just barely gave that so touched my heart and was my talk and went straight to my heart. And these were the things he said. The first was, "My dear brothers and sisters, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are to be examples of how to interact with others. One of the easiest ways to identify a true follower of Jesus Christ is how compassionately that person treats other people. Brothers and sisters, we can literally change the world one person, one interaction at a time by modeling how to manage honest differences of opinion with mutual respect and dignified dialogue. Now is the time to cease your way. Now is the time to stop doing things that make others walk on eggshells. Now is the time to bury your weapons of war. Now is the time to put them away. The temple can help in your quest. There you are endowed with God's power. You have the ability to overcome Satan, the instigator of all contention. Cast him out of your relationships. There is no room for prejudice, condemnation, or contention of any kind. In the gospel, there is room for everyone. Those blessed with this supernal gift of charity are long-suffering and kind. They do not envy others, are not caught up in their own importance. They are not easily provoked and do not think evil of others. The pure love of Christ is the answer to the contention that ails us today. I absolutely loved that talk. And it just so went with that experience that I had had. And I have such a testimony that that is something God helps us with, if that is truly our desire. And I want to end in chapter 16 of Matthew, verse 15. And he turns to his disciples. He saith to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And if you look at the footnote of 15, it says the plural pronoun used here is the Greek indicates Jesus asked this question of all of the apostles, not just one. And he asked that of all of us. Whom say ye that I am? Excuse me. I know who he is. He is the God of miracles. He is the God who sees me as someone who can become more. He is the God who fills my heart with love. And his love helps me cast out all contention, cast out all hurt feelings, and fill it back with love of his other children, my fellow men. Helps me overcome my humanness and fill me with charity so that I can speak with the tongue of angels and not add vile contention to the world. And that's what I want more than anything, to be an example of him, to have my actions scream who I follow. That is my prayer. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.